Drive, chip, and putt. Golf is so easy. Four? Okay, maybe the occasional wedge. Let's talk golf. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN Chicago. Presented by the Glenview Park Golf Club. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Rocky.
YouTube and take us wherever you go on that ESPN Chicago app. Tyler Rocky, along with Mike Gilligan, we talk golf with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season. On a little early today, off a little early today at 10:30 for some White Sox baseball. But if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. And Mike, we sit now a week away from our final major. Who would have thought? We're already at that point. The summer has just gone flying by, but our final major is now less than a week away as they will tee it up at Royal Troon. We're going to talk to Tracy Butler a little bit later on in the show, because if there's any major where weather plays a factor, it is the British Open. So Tracy will join us at 10 o'clock today. But the Scottish Open taking place this week. Ludvig Åberg is your leader right now at 12 under. He's fired consecutive 64s and a pretty good leaderboard so far that is taking place out in Scotland.
There's absolutely no doubt, and some could argue that this is among some of the best 2 weeks of golf that we get to see, because here in the States, we wake up with golf.
Right, yeah. Right?
And it's prime time for us, right, because it's early. You know, they're in the midst of their day. So it's really kind of a neat part of the summer, except that it hints that it's coming to an end.
Yeah, we are kind of in the hot spot, though, of daytime sports programming. Like Wimbledon's going on right now. We have the Euros with the soccer matches going on. We're going to have the Olympics in a little bit before you know it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the British Open, where you wake up and there's golf on TV.
And unfortunately, it is the final major of the year because of the PGA Championship, which used to be contested in August for many, 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 many years, has moved to May. So this, in essence, ends the major season, but PGA Tour fans, it's the start of the playoff series,
for sure,
which then leads us to the Tour Championship, which then eventually leads us to the President's Cup. And then, woefully, the season is over at that point. But it just seemed like yesterday we were at the Chicago Golf Show, speaking of Tracy Butler, and you know, and wondering what the weather was going to be like, what the majors were going to be like, and here we are coming to an end. And although I do love what the PGA Tour has done with the Scottish Open in co-presenting it with the European Tour, I think it's a great, great move and gets us more in tune with links-style golf ahead of the British Open. Instead of trying to inhale it all in a week, we kind of get our hors d'oeuvre this week, and then we get the main course next week. And then they stick around over there because of the Olympics. Believe it or not, they start August 1st, and that'll be the first round played over at the same venue they played the 2018 Ryder Cup. Over at, La Nationale, Simone? And, you know, it's going to be an amazing last part of the summer before they return to the States for the playoffs. And so, yeah, we've got a wild event going on. Ludvig is showing his calm and coolness and his veteran appearance, if you will. What I was most amazed about was his first round, actually. You know, he was playing with Colin Morikawa. And Colin started out like a house of fire. I think he was 3 under after like 5 holes. Where a lot of players would might panic, especially a rookie, like I'm not keeping up with even somebody in my group, let alone what the rest of the field is doing. No, he just stayed calm and cool. And then he just shot little 30 on the back nine and to put himself into the position that we find him in right now before round three. So the guy continues to amaze me in how he is just so set and so ready for the stage. I I mean, I know we're going to do our picks later, but I'm going to hint to you, he's one that I'm looking at real hard.
You know what? I'll spoil it as well. He's one of mine as well. And it's tough to pick against him the way that he has played and just the way that he's shown up in majors as well. He has been in the thick of things in almost every single major he's truly competed in this year. I think we can kind of scrap the PGA with him because he was dealing with injury at that point. It wasn't really a true major test for him, and I don't think that was a true showing of who he is as a golfer there. But like, I'm with you. Like, everything that we've seen about him, and I really wonder if you had to ask him how much that Ryder Cup experience that he had last year is playing a factor into how he's looked on the PGA Tour and specifically in the majors this year. If you ask him how pivotal that was to creating the golfer that he is today, I'd be intrigued by that answer because I think that was a really good early test for a young guy who had never really done much on the PGA Tour. He gets that kind of soft landing as it was an overseas Ryder Cup. It was on European soil. But he gets that experience and now never looks daunted in any event that he plays in. The only thing that's holding him back at times is injury. Everything else, he goes out there and dominates. Now, he hasn't really won big on the PGA Tour yet, but the fact that he's been where he is with the top 10s and top 5 finishes on the tour and in the majors, I think speaks volumes about the young golfer that the PGA Tour has right now.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the guy always is relevant. I mean, he positions himself like a, you know, like a player that's been on tour for 10 years in the way that he presents himself, the way he goes about his business, the way he practices, and how dedicated he is, and also how much respect he has for the game. I mean, he is a very well-educated player in all facets of the game from a historical perspective all the way through the etiquette. I mean, he is the real deal, the real package, and he's going to be fun to watch, but to get back to your earlier question, what would he answer or how would he answer? I'd say significantly it had a huge impact. And I think sometimes things work themselves out for all the right reasons. And for him to have been at the right place at the right time, as we know, timing's everything, and to land at that particular type of Ryder Cup, the way that it unfolded, I think had a tremendous impact on his ability to perform this year and to keep that momentum and to keep what he learned and experienced and now apply it in a new situation. And he's only getting better. Yeah. And it's scary.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, he is one of the best young golfers the game has. I don't know how familiar maybe the average golf fan is with him or the average sports fan is with him, but that's kind of like the name right now. If you were to pick like the young up and comers, it goes Scottie Scheffler, and then Ludwig is number two right now.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he's going to start to win at a clip where you're like, wow, this guy is the real deal, and he may be the guy that's going to be chasing Scottie. And maybe you do end up with your next sort of Tiger-Phil type of rivalry there where you've got Scottie, the best ball striker we've seen since Tiger, and then you've got Ludwig, who's kind of on his tail chasing him at all these big events.
And again, you go back to opportunities and John Rahm leaves. Is this now the new Scottie Ludwig battle? Could we be seeing a Tom Watson, Jack Nicklaus, like in 1977 under the sun, a battle like that was epic, or, you know, Nicklaus and Palmer or whomever. But this is what we need. We need a Batman and the Joker. We need two guys to be meeting consistently and hopefully consecutively in majors to have it out. And to your point earlier, yeah, you got to throw the PGA Championship out the window because he was hurt. The rest of it is, I mean, for a first-year player, look at that major record, and he's only going to add to it. I look for him to do great, great things at Royal Tron.
Yeah, I think the one thing that's sort of missing in terms of turning it into a great rivalry, like for golf fans, I think it can be a great rivalry. But for the average sports fan, are you going to be able to make it a great rivalry without having the character? Like Scottie, very vanilla. Ludwig, we don't really see a lot of character out of him yet. Maybe there's something to be uncovered there. But they don't have the same type of character and intrigue, I think, that a Phil and Tiger had, or like a Jack and Tom Watson had. Like, this, there needs to be some sort of rivalry, because it seems like they're almost too friendly at this point for each other.
But at the same time, I do think that if they get into battles with one another, I think that's where we'll start to see one another bringing the best out of each other and bringing out some of that personality, some of that passion. Because honestly, Scotty Harley hasn't had to come from behind too much and do anything in dramatic fashion yet. He pretty much wins things kind of going away.
Yeah.
And so if we have somebody that can really make it come down to the wire with Scotty and himself, and I think you'll start to see a bit more of that passionate, you know, guy that is inside Scotty Scheffler. But I do think that the two of them might be able to bring out more of the personality out of each other by having this battle. But golf needs the Tiger Phil matchup, the, you know, Jack Arnold. It needs it, and we could be on the precipice of actually seeing it happen.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, these are two of the best ambassadors you can have in your sport right now. So that would be something. By the way, I'll get you a little bit of a Scottish. Or,
oh no, I was just going to say the other thing about the whole Ludwig thing is, and his ability to shake things off. Did you happen to see the shot?
Yes, I did.
And I mean, again, here is a situation where a young guy hits a shot. Now, folks, if you didn't see it, what happened was Colin Morikawa hit his shot very close to the flag on the, I believe it was the eighth hole on Thursday. And so Ludwig hits his shot, and I don't know what the odds are of it, but he flew the ball on top of Colin's ball, not bounce, roll up, and hit the ball. Nope. It landed on the fly.
Yep. And it just...
and exploded the balls in two different directions.
Completely pinballed them.
Yeah.
And Ludwig still, like, that's resiliency, though. Like, that should be a tight shot. You're looking at a birdie opportunity there, a short birdie opportunity there, chance to score, and then all of a sudden, it blows up, quite literally blows up in your face.
It blows up, and he makes five. So he's for sure making four, most likely three, but for sure four. So here again, eighth hole. But what's he do? He comes back and shoots 30 on the back nine. Yeah. And it's just all these little things. And although you may say, well, that's not any big deal, but this is what he does consistently. And that's why he is so disciplined and so good at his craft.
Yep. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here, your Scottish Open leaderboard update. Ludvig Åberg is your leader right now, 12 under, yet to tee off. He'll go off about an hour from now, local time. He has fired back-to-back six unders. Tommy Fleetwood off and running today so far. He is 11 under, tied for second right now. He's five under for the day. He has birdied. He had a run of four birdies on holes three through six, so Tommy Fleetwood is off to a nice start there. Antoine Rosner also at 11 under. He has yet to tee off today. So a couple of the other notable: Sungjae Im at 10 under right now. Sahith Theegala, Colin Morikawa, and Rory McIlroy all at 9 under, all inside the top 10 right now as well. All right, when we come back, you had quite the week traveling and seeing people within the golf industry, so I'm looking forward to hearing about that. We also will have our picks for the CDGA Fantasy Golf League for the British Open. We'll get to that in a little bit, and Tracy Butler will join us at 10 as well. And if you want to join us, 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000 100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Segment brought to you by PGA Superstore. Visit any of our Chicagoland locations today. Mike, you had quite the week out and about with the golfing community.
I did. I was fortunate enough, after we finished what was a most successful Chicago Adaptive Open, I might say, we had a chance to go on out and see the U.S. Adaptive Open out in Kansas. This is the U.S. Open's version by the USGA. and they held the first couple at Pinehurst, and now the third Adaptive Open is being contested as we speak out in Wichita, Kansas, or just outside it in Newton, at a course just north of the city there. And I have to tell you, have you ever been to Wichita?
I have not been to Wichita.
It is, you think it gets hot here.
Mm-hmm.
It is searing heat there. It was unbelievably, uncomfortably warm there. They did get decent weather in the mid-90s, but it goes over 100 there without any issues. But basically the reason I went out there was to campaign for Chicago to get a future U.S. Adaptive Open. After they're out in Kansas, they'll go to Maryland for a couple years, and then the next 27, 28, 29, and 30 years are all open. And we're basically doing a little bit of campaigning for Chicago to be in the selection criteria and potentially a place like Cog Hill, or any of the courses for that matter in Chicago. But it's going to require some proactive outreach from the courses on our end. But the USGA is very interested in coming to Chicago, which is good news for golf fans here. So it was really nice to be able to see the players that were here, visit with them, how they found things to be in Chicago, and to hear what they had to say to the other players who didn't make it to Chicago. And it was really telling when a lot of the players who didn't come had heard from their colleagues how fun and how great it was here and how friendly they found things and how easy it was to get in and out of this town, that we are going to have a full field next year in a big, big way. And I mean double the size, because the accolades that were thrown our way were tremendous and well-received. But at the same time, it positions Chicago very nicely for future considerations. And when I was flying out there, it was interesting because you'll never know who you run into when you travel.
Right.
But on my flight, in the row across the aisle was a woman who had some bag tags, which I thought, wow, you only get those if you go to a lot of the majors. But she didn't look like a golfing type. Well, as it turned out, she's a master engraver, and she does all the trophies for the USGA.
Oh, wow.
So she is the person that you'll see at the British Open doing the inscribing on the claret jug in a week and a half or 2 weeks. I guess a week and a day. But anyway, she does it. She's only one of 41 in the United States. And for anyone to find an engraver that's willing to work with the public looking at them, I found out is number one, because by trade, she was sharing with me, we're very introverted people.
Right.
And we like it quiet. We like it calm. We like it very, you know, but we have to practice our craft. And it was interesting. Her approach to engraving is exactly our approach to playing golf, our short games, putting. It's all about consistency. It's about rhythm. It's about being relaxed. And you know what she told me? She said, you know, when I make a mistake, if I make a mistake, it's when I'm afraid to make a mistake.
Yeah.
So I go, you know, it's like when you say, don't go right, and where's the ball go? It goes right.
Right.
And she said, if I engrave with relax, I'm calm, she goes, it's like artwork for me. It's real simple. But she goes, if I get tense, if people around me start getting up and a celebratory, she said, engraving Bryson DeChambeau's U.S. Open
trophy.
That's
a long name, too.
It was a long name. And Bryson was hovering over her shoulder.
Oh, boy.
Giddy with excitement. And then after she got his first name done, he's jumping up and down like, I got the first name is done. And she still had to do DeChambeau.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, she kept having to look at him with a stern look because he kept shaking the table. So because, again, a master engraver, when they're at home, they're a part of the table. They get these special tables where the table wraps around them. Here, they get a 4x8 banquet table.
Right, yeah.
That is rickety as all get up. And they're inscribing some of the greatest trophies in sports. And it was just amazing to hear some of her stories. And the other part about the engraving is the intimacy that happens, because they do put them in a private room. And only the player and only the caddy and maybe a loved one or immediate family can come in. And she says that a lot of the moments that they're with their past champions can be very, very, very emotional. And it's a very intimate thing. And she really didn't want to get into details, but she just said it's a very unique thing and that she's very blessed that she gets to do it 9 times a year. She does all the opens. She does this. She just came from doing the senior open. What was it, out in Rhode Island? So it was very interesting just to know that there is somebody that actually does this role in a way that is absolutely incredible. So it was just a fun way to get the trip started. And then when I got there, as soon as I get out of the car, start walking, who do I run into? But the number one guy at the USGA, Mike Wan, a fellow Chicagoan and friend of the show. So I got to spend 30 minutes with him just walking around, catching up because we were college classmates at Miami of Ohio. We both went to school at the same time. He was a Beta. I was a Sigma Nu. But I don't hold that against him. But anyway, but no, it was interesting to get his perspective on the adaptive industry and the tsunami, as he calls it, is coming. And it really is. And it was cool to see his perspective in where adaptive golf is going to go in the future with the USGA. They would love to televise it. That's something that they're looking at in the future. We streamed it for 5 hours. He was very interested in watching our stream. But I look for a lot of big things to happen. And when you look at what happened out in Kansas this past week, the winning score was 15 or 16 under par. And it was a young man from England. And the person in second was from Ireland. So you had a lot of international players coming in, in for this. And the scores were absolutely incredible. And the golf course was not easy. So these ladies and gentlemen can really, really play. And it was so impressive to watch. So, yeah, it was a wild, wild week. It was warm. And when I stepped off the plane here, you know, like they say out in Kansas, and Dorothy says there's no place like home. When I got to O'Hare, that's exactly what I said. There is no place like home. So it's good to be back here. So it was a fun week.
Awesome, awesome. All right, when we come back, we will dive a little bit more into previewing out at Royal Troon next week, and we'll get to some of our fantasy golf picks in a little bit as well. If you want to join us, 312-332-3776. The Open Championship preview coming up next. This segment brought to you by PGA Superstore.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100. How's your golf game? Yeah, mine too, but more on that later. It's time for more golf talk on the CDGA Golf Show, your guide to golf around the world and in your neighborhood. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Now here are your hosts, Mike Gilligan and Tyler Aki.
The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000 with you every single week during the golfing season. Usually we start at 9 a.m., but a little bit of an earlier start today for White Sox baseball. This segment, by the way, brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, a pure golf experience, as we are now 5 days out from when they'll finally tee it up at Royal Troon. And yeah, we will talk with Tracy Butler about an hour from now. She's going to give us all the weather that you need to know about, because that is going to be a huge factor.
It's the number one question.
It is. Every time you get to a British Open, it is the most important thing that you could possibly have. It is the, I mean, the winds are always whipping there, but how severe is it going to be? Are they going to have to deal with any rain out there? They usually do, spoiler alert. But yeah, that's the number one question on the mind. So we will talk to Tracy a little bit less than an hour from now at 10 o'clock. But as you look at this year's field and just some of the intriguing storylines heading into this one right now, I think a number of things certainly come to mind, but I think it starts and ends with Rory McIlroy and his quest to finally kick this major drought to the side, as he has not won a major in a decade now. And the way that he's played, some of the results that he's had, you wouldn't think that's the case, because he has all these runner-ups and top fives and top tens at majors. And it's not like he hasn't won golf tournaments. He's won quite a few of them, but it just hasn't been the big ones with the big fancy trophies or jackets. And that right now is his, it's really, you can tell it's weighing on him mentally, but this almost feels like the perfect week to shake some of that. And it feels like this could be finally the time that we see Rory McIlroy get over the hump.
Well, and I think he's going to be a fan favorite. In fact, for I sure. know he will. And it was interesting to hear from him now for the first time. And I think there was probably a little regret, although he says he really the last thing in his mind was the media as he departed Pinehurst. But he needed to get away. And after hearing him, I have more empathy for what was going on with him at the moment. You know, his whole life was, you know, in weird state. You know, his personal life with his wife, Erica, what happened at the Open, and it just being such a tragic, you know, it looked like he had it in his, like, yeah. It was like she was ready to start engraving Rory, you know?
right,
I mean, it
yeah.
was like, let me start the R. Oh, I got to turn that R into a B.
But, it's an easy fix,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, it's an easy fix. Actually, she did say the reason she can do it so well is because she does know how to rub out mistakes.
Okay.
And if you're dealing with good metals, you can do it.
Okay.
But so anyway, but yeah, it just what happened with Rory, I think our hearts at the end of the day go out to him. And I think it would be poetic justice if he wins. I really do.
Yeah.
I think based on how this whole year of majors have unfolded, I just think it would be absolutely an unbelievable way, as you know, NBC calls it the greatest summer in golf.
Yeah.
To end the greatest summer in golf as far as the majors are concerned with a win by Rory. It would be one for the ages. And it would be one that collectively around the world, I think the everyone would be, you know, rooting and cheering all in unison at the same time. So we'll see. But did you pick him?
I did.
You did?
I did, yeah. He's part of the squad. You did not? Okay.
I did not.
Interesting.
I did not.
This was Rory. This was about a year ago now. This was in June of last year. Talking about, is it exhausting answering about heartbreak all the time?
It is, but at the same time, you know, when I do finally win this next major, it's going to be really, really sweet. So, you know, I would go through 100 Sundays like this to get my hands on another major championship.
So this was last year. I'm trying to remember. Was this the PGA's last year? Must have been.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was US Open last year. Either way, like, this was one of those ones where Rory was right there on the doorstep, as he was in almost every single major last year, aside from the Masters. And it's one of those things, like, he has had all of these tight finishes, but he kind of sees the forest through the trees of, listen, when I do finally get there, and because he feels that it is a when, not if type of deal for him. And the way that he has played over the last 3 years, it certainly feels that way as well, but it's just, damn, we're really this far into it and he hasn't gotten over the hump quite yet. It is kind of insane to think about it that way, but here we are and the drought has reached 10 years, but I look at everything, like the storyline, and it feels like we've had a number of sort of storyline major winners this year and redemption arcs and all that stuff, and it feels like this is the final piece, because boy, what a year of winners we could have. Like Scotty, best player in the world, wins the Masters. Xander, best player without a major, wins the PGAs. Bryson, oh so close at the PGAs, but this is a resurrection of his career as well, because he had kind of fallen out of the limelight for a little bit, going over to Live, and at first wasn't playing great over on Live, but he's had a complete resurrection of his career. And now Rory finally can kick the drought, and he's gone as long as he's gone without a major, and that's his redemption. Like, boy, that would be one of the better years of major winners that we've had.
Yeah, and I'd go so far as with Bryson, I'd say when you said the best player not to win a major, he's the best player really not ranked.
Yeah, true.
I mean, if he were fully ranked, he'd be in the top five, top three, top two, maybe. Mm-hmm. But again, here's the best non-ranked player.
True. Yeah.
But then
the best player on LIV.
Yeah. And now we're going to get the best player to have won a major, but hasn't in the last 10 years. Potentially,
right.
Now going to win because you technically could have the top four players in the game all win.
Right.
All four majors, and that I would love to see when the last time that ever happened.
And I think about it too. Like he's probably. If we take Tiger out of the conversation because he doesn't really play on the PGA Tour anymore, he just participates in the majors, he is probably the best truly active golfer when you talk about resume and stuff. Like, it's him, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's come on in a way that I just – that he's one of the guys for the Open Championship. I cannot wait to see how he attacks a links-style course. Mm-hmm. It's going to be – you know – he is must-watch TV right now, and yeah.
So have you been to Royal Troon before?
I have not been to Royal Troon. Unfortunately, I've never been to Scotland. That's on the bucket
list. I was going to say, that feels like your next golfing venture there.
Yeah, I've been to Ireland a couple times, but I definitely want to go to Scotland. And every time I watch golf in Scotland, I keep telling myself, I got to go. It is on the bucket list, and we had a chance. We took a member trip over to Scotland, and Eric Ciotti got to escort that crew.
You drew the short straw.
I drew the short straw of going to the PGA Championship, so life wasn't all that bad.
One of the more eventful PGA Championships well.
I was glad to be there.
And the guy who was in the thick of things there was Scottie Scheffler. How do you think Scottie's game stacks up at a place like Royal Troon? Because if you look kind of at the majors, this has been the one that has kind of tripped Scottie up as much as a top 30 finish is tripping someone up. But this is the one that, if you look at his history, has given him probably the most trouble. Like, you look, he's conquered the Masters. Every single PGA championship he's been in since he's gone pro, he has been top 10 aside from getting cut in 2022. The U.S. Open, he's been top 10 in all but one, and that was just so happened to be this past one at Pinehurst. How do you feel like this one stacks up? Because he's got a top 10 in 2021, and then 21st and 23rd the last 2 years.
Actually, I think his experience at Pinehurst is actually going to help him here. And I mean, the golf course was not your traditional golf course that we know. Scottie loves those tree-lined, narrow fairways.
Yeah.
The narrower and the harder you make it for him, or for the players, it dovetails nicely for Scottie's game. You start getting him out into these open places in the, you know, the imagination shots and all the rest of it, and the bump and runs and all. Those are the courses that seems that Scottie does not excel well on. And we watched a little bit of that at Pinehurst. And I think it's just because he doesn't play enough of them, you know. And I think it just comes from experience and repetition of playing these things. And that's why you traditionally see a lot of Europeans and other non-Americans winning this event, just because of the uniqueness of the golf courses and the imagination and the shots and the weather. I mean, today I saw some of the players have toques on. They're wearing winter caps today in Scotland, you know. So there's a lot that's different, and but I do think Scottie's going to do better than he's ever done. Will he win? I don't think he'll win, but I think he's going to have a great event. But wouldn't it be something if he did win? Because then you're wondering, wow, what a year. Bookends and then all the rest of it in the middle. I mean,
he very well could have won that PGA Championship.
You know it.
If it weren't for the arrest.
That's right.
Because he went out and he was tremendous after he did get arrested. But you got to remember, I think the forgotten thing from that weekend is that he played the third round without his caddy.
That's right.
Ted Scott, who is, I mean, the earnings he has this year, I mean, he's probably what? I think he's like a top 10 earner on the PGA Tour this year, and he's a caddy.
Yeah, and I wonder if Forbes is going to have him as one of the most, highest paid athletes in all of sports.
Right.
A caddy. But you're right. Scottie did not have his caddy that round. And I think
on the adrenaline, probably.
The adrenaline
was taking its toll at that point.
And I think if there was a day he could have really used his caddy other than any other day during the year. It was that day.
Yeah.
So I think, unfortunately, you know, he's a victim of circumstance. And if he were to win the British, you know, and then all of a sudden all you have left is the Open. I mean, he conceivably could have had a legit shot at a Grand Slam. And it won't be too far along before he wins his own personal Grand Slam, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. All right, when we come back, let's make our picks. And we also have something that you're going to want to be listening for, because you're going to have a chance to win a round of golf with a former Chicago Bear, the highest scoring Chicago Bear in franchise history. We'll tell you all about that. You're going to have a couple of chances today, so make sure you're listening throughout. Don't line up yet, but we'll tell you when. That's all coming up next. This segment brought to you by Coghill Golf and Country Club, home of 42 practice bays with Top Tracer technology.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.
CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. We're with you every single Saturday. Off a little early today for some White Sox baseball coming up at 10:30. It's White Sox Weekly with Shay Norling. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin. If you are a CDGA member, you do have a new magazine coming your way. You gave me a little preview of it here. But there is a little bit in there from Robbie Gold, and one of the things that is coming your way. So right now, if you don't know it by heart, all right, go out and find your CDGA number, your member number, because you're going to have a chance to golf with Robbie Gold. We're going to give away a bunch of chances here. So not right now, but you will be asked to call in. And you will be randomly selected, but you're going to need that CDGA number.
Yep.
So have your CDGA number handy right now, and you could randomly be selected to win a chance to golf with Robbie Gold. And what's the date on that?
That's going to be next Friday, July 19th. And here's what we're doing, folks. Robbie, as you all know, or may not know, he's a partner of the CDGA's. He's one of our ambassadors and helps grow the game here in Chicago. He's a passionate golfer and a very good one at that. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, he's a low index, when I say low, single digit.
Mm-hmm. Lower than his football number.
Lower than his football number. Very good. And significantly lower. And in fact, you'll get a chance to watch Robbie today on NBC.
Yeah.
Where he's playing out in Lake Tahoe at the celebrity event that they do
American Century Championship. So today,
Larry Fitzgerald today.
Playing with Larry Fitzgerald and Nate Bargatze. So pretty pretty good threesome right there.
Yeah.
So he has 10 points right now. This is one of the few golf events you'll find where you actually want a bigger score.
Yeah, they're playing that Stableford.
Mm-hmm.
You get points for birdies, eagles, and the whole nine yards. And Robbie writes about the experience. This is his ninth celebrity event.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So when he comes back, as we all know, he is the head football coach at Rolling Meadows High School. And so his golf season is coming to a rather abrupt end in essence. I mean, he'll still be playing, but not like he has been. So Robbie and I wanted to do something kind of fun, kind of creative, kind of different. And we wanted to get with some CDGA members and create a little event between the two of us. So I'll have three players, he'll have three players, and we're going to do 2 9-hole matches, so everyone will have a chance to play with Robbie and a chance to play against Robbie. So we will have 2 9-holes. We'll have a cool swag bag. It'll be like Christmas in July, thanks to the CDGA corporate partners that we have, and I think Robbie's going to have a partner or two included in the bunch. Ron Cassidy, Todd Vermillion, and the rest of the Glenview Park staff are going to be our gracious hosts. And here's
amazing.
The fun part. We will not have to wait on a shot because we are the first group out in the morning. So if you have the ability to get away this Friday morning at, oh my gosh, early at 6:20, we are going to tee off. We are going to be dew sweepers, and it's going to be fun. We will be done with our day probably by, call it 9:30 as far as our golf is concerned. Grab a drink, maybe something to eat with Robbie afterwards, and then shake hands and collect our prizes. We're going to have some fun little prizes that we're going to be playing for. So it's a fun little morning that Ron and I want to try to bring out a variety of different people from time to time. And it's sort of a breakfast round at Glenview Park and getting to know, you know, get to know Robbie Gold away from the football field and on the golf course.
Yeah.
So CDGA members, you've got an opportunity to join Robbie and I this Friday if your schedule permit and if you happen to call in.
So, all right. Don't call yet.
Not yet.
But you'll have, there's six spots. You're going to have two chances to get one of those six spots. So we'll take three in a little bit here, but you have to have a CDGA membership.
Active. And I will be, the reason is I'm checking the membership numbers so that we truly reserve this for CDGA members. Just another pop-up opportunity benefit by the CDGA.
That's why you need one of these memberships.
Yeah, it's like what you always say.
It always pays for itself, and it very well will pay for itself in this instance
as
well here.
We're going to have a ball, and I look forward to it. I just hope the weather's great. It's one of my favorite golf courses in the district. Todd does such a wonderful job with the conditioning there, and it's always a great day when you're at the Glenview Park Golf Club.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So we will do that in just a little bit. But real quick, let's tell you a little bit what's going on out at the American Century Championship right now, the event that Robbie is playing in at the moment. They are out in Lake Tahoe. And I couldn't believe this when I saw this, but the leader right now is Adam Thielen.
Isn't that something?
I had no idea Adam Thielen was a good golfer.
Yeah.
But he is your standalone leader right now with 24 points ahead of Marty Fish, the tennis player. He's got 23. Derek Lowe, former pitcher, and Joe Pavelski, hockey player there, 21 points apiece. Mark Mulder, the other former pitcher, he is tied for fifth, as is Del Curry. So Steph is not in this event because he is out with the Olympics, but the other Currys are in. So Del is currently tied for fifth, and then Steph's brother Seth is in 12th right now with 16 points. But usually Steph is in this event and does well in this event.
Well, he's a defending champion.
Yeah. Oh, is he really?
Yeah. He's a defending champ.
He had the hole in one last year, I remember.
Remember? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that elevated points in a large way.
Oh, yeah.
Because, again, it's about the Stableford. It's not traditional golf, as you had mentioned. So, it's going to be a cool day. If you're inside, you've got plenty of options of golf today. It's incredible between the ladies are overseas too. So their rounds are going to be finishing up soon, but then you've got your regular tour going on. You've got the senior tour, then you've got the celebrity event.
Yeah.
And then who knows, and maybe go out and hit it yourself.
I don't know how much you've seen the field for this year, but out of everyone that's in the field this year, who, if you had to pick two to play with, who would be two of the ones that you would play with here? I got to say, Robbie's group, Larry Fitzgerald is one of the guys that I would love. That would be awesome. He seems like an awesome guy to just hang around with.
Yeah. For me, I would tend to probably venture towards some of the hockey players or the baseball players.
Yeah. Joe Mauer's another interesting one on there.
Yeah. And he's also a hockey player. It's funny when you look at some of the positions that some of these athletes had in their sport. You get a lot of pitchers, you get the kickers, punters, you get people who have a lot of time, on the
side. A lot of quarterbacks in this event too,
because they're best athletes on the team, right? It makes sense. So it's interesting to see where they come from. And Marty Fish is a former professional tennis player, and I'm going to tell you, he looks like a tour player when he plays. I mean, he's a former champion as well, and I think a multiple former champion if I'm not mistaken in the past, but very, very good player. And again, these guys, once they retire from their sport and they have nothing but time and the ability and the health, then they can become amazing players.
Yeah.
And and it's interesting when you look at guys like Larry Anderson and Thielen, the wide receivers, their fingers get so beat up, and they got to be able to turn around and hold that little golf club so delicately. So I'm going to guess that Adam Thielen's hands are healthy going into training camp this year based on the way he's least playing. So head coaches around the NFL can probably ascertain some of the health of their players by how well they're playing in this.
Well, and he just went to Carolina last year, was his first year in Carolina, so I'm sure he's gotten some. Going from Minnesota to Carolina, a little bit of a different golfing scene there. But yeah, both of the Kelseys are in this. Another guy that I want to point out, Rob McElhenney from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't know if you ever watched that show, but he is definitely one that I would have on my list here as well. All right, when we come back, we will go through our fantasy golf picks. But right now, at 312-332-3776, call in right now for your chance to win a round of golf with Robbie Gold. We're going to take the first 10 callers here, and then you will be randomly selected. But you need your CDGA member number. That is the important part here. You need your name and CDGA member number. So 312-332-3776. If you want a chance to golf with Robbie Gold on July 19th, you will get a chance to golf with Robbie Gold and Mike. And it'll be you're going to be one of the first tee times out there. But you need that CDGA member number. I cannot stress that enough here. So 312-332-3776. We will pick a couple, and then we will also give away our picks for the fantasy golf for the British Open coming up this week as well. So get those calls in right now for a chance to golf with Robbie and Mike. This segment brought to you by Golf Elgin, home of Bowes Creek Country Club and the Highlands of Elgin.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
The segment brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort. Experience a Michigan masterpiece. Congrats to Colin, Nick, and Dan. You all are going to go play golf with and against Robbie Gold coming up on Friday. So make sure you're available. We got you in. So we will be in contact with you as well. But we've got our first three. But don't worry, there's going to be another chance to win as well coming up a little bit after Tracy Butler. So around 10:15 or so, be locked in and have that CDGA member number ready. Good job by everyone.
Yeah.
Having that member number ready.
You should have seen the lines just light up, and I love how everyone knows their number. That's so amazing. but yeah, Nick, Dan, and Colin, I will be sending you guys emails and giving you all the details, over the weekend, early in the week. But I look forward to seeing everybody at 6:20 or earlier. Actually, we're teeing off at 6:20, so about 6 a.m. at Glenview Park. It'll be dew sweeping, and it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yep. So there will be another chance to win around 10:15. So make sure you've got that member number ready, and make sure you also have availability as well for that day if you want to golf against and with Robbie Gold. So 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here as we will now make our fantasy golf picks for the Open Championship coming up at Royal Troon. And this was the first two groups I thought were easy. Last group, I can probably count on one hand how many golfers I knew out of that group. All right. So if you're not aware of how this works, again, as a CDGA member, you get access to the fantasy golf for all of the majors and a couple special events as well along the way. Lots of fun, and you can win some great prizes as well, including a new first place gets a Tour Edge Hot Launch driver. Second place gets the Zero Friction Wheel Pro golf bag. And then third through seventh place all get various foursomes at different courses throughout the district. And then there are a bunch of other different things like range finders, other golf bags, gift cards to the CDGA member shop, some golf balls, partner packs, all that fun stuff. And then some random participants will also win five free sandwiches from Jersey Mike's as well. So good stuff that you can win from this. It's tough. I mean, we haven't really even promoted it yet, and there's already almost 500 teams entered
in.
Usually we get, a couple thousand
that get entered? Usually around between 4,000 and 5,000. And although for the longest time, believe it or not, the British Open had the record for the most people. It was over 5,000 people. So the Masters last year broke the all-time record. But the British Open is usually, if not first, the second most popular event of the season, more so than our U.S. Open. So the Open is a little bit more popular when it comes to fantasy.
All right, so the Open Championship at Royal Troon starts on Thursday. Who do you have out of group? So basically how this works is there's four groups of golfers. Group A has some of the best golfers, top-ranked guys in the world. Group B has some very good golfers, some of the other top-ranked guys, but not quite in Group A's tier. Group C and then Group D, and then the rankings kind of go down and down as you move forward and through. You'll get some amateurs in there as well. But Group A, who do you like out of Group A, the cream of the crop here?
Well, I kind of hinted at it earlier in the show. I got to go with the young phenom, Ludvig.
I'm with you.
So I went there. And you're going to see a little bit of a theme once I get out of this Group A, because I did pick Brooks Koepka. I did pick Scotty Scheffler. And I did pick Bryson DeChambeau as my alternate.
Okay.
So I went heavy on the Americans in Group A. But that's about the last time you're going to see an American until we get to D.
I actually do not have a single American in Group A.
Wow.
I went with Ludvig, I went with Rory, and I went with Tommy Fleetwood as my three out of that. And then my alternate is Cam Smith.
I love Tommy Fleetwood, but he just continues to disappoint me in the majors. So
that's the thing is you don't necessarily have to pick the winner. But if you have guys in the top 10, you're going to be in a good spot there.
That's right.
And the key to this is always so you pick, well, how many you pick? You pick 12 golfers, and you basically can cut, you can get up to two cuts. So you take your top 10 out once there's a cut is made. Otherwise, it's a pretty steep penalty that you have to pay for any excess golfers that you have that have been cut. So
they inherit the highest score from that day.
So you want as few cuts as possible.
That's right. And you just want
two.
Yeah.
If you can get away with two.
10 are all in it. You're going to be in the top 50 in the pool.
Probably.
For sure.
So yeah, those are my three that I'm rolling with there. Okay. Ludvig, Tommy, and Rory.
All right.
Group B.
Now I go international. I go Tyrell Hatton, Shane Lowry, and Sungjae Im, with an alternative Matthew Fitzpatrick. I'm going international now.
I have some international mixed into this one. I've got Tony Finau in Group B. He is one of the best without a major right now. I also have Sungjae Im on mine. And then Shane Lowry. I always pick Shane Lowry for the Open. And whether it's my fantasy golf here, some bets on the side, whether it's sometimes I do like the daily fantasy golf as well. I love picking Shane Lowry in this event, and this will be no exception here. And then my alternate is Robert McIntyre.
Ooh. Did you hear what he's doing? He's moving out of Florida.
Is he?
Yeah, he just decided Florida's not for him. There's no place like home. And you know where home for him is? Scotland.
Yeah.
So it's like, he's got to figure out how to practice during the winter. But yeah, he said, I'm not going to renew. And yeah, I'm going to move back to Scotland. So interesting.
All right, on to Group C.
Group C. I'm going to go down under and go with Adam Scott, Joaquin Neiman, Dean Burmester, and who's actually leading the LIV event this week.
Yeah, he's been good the last couple of events.
And he's been good in the majors.
Yeah.
He played at the PGA, and he also played well at the Open. So, or the U.S. Open. So I went with him. And then I may rue this decision, but I went with Justin Rose, even though he did not have a very good Scottish Open. I just think he always plays well in the British.
Yeah.
So
he's one of those guys you wake up and he's already like a couple under and he's already on the little leaderboard graphic.
That's exactly right. That's why I picked him. And so I did. And then I went with David Puig again from, he's been having a heck of a year over on LIV as well. So I do pay attention to those things. So I went ahead and picked some international LIV players.
I matched you on Joaquin Neiman there. I like him a lot this week. And then my others, Austin Eckroat, who I've had some good success with in this, in the fantasy golf. Mackenzie Hughes and Rasmus Højgaard, who is playing well this week.
Really good.
And then my alternate is Adrian Meronk.
I looked at Adrian as well, but
I left him as the alternate. So, you pick an alternate for those who are unfamiliar with the contest here. You pick an alternate, and if one of your guys gets scratched, your alternate slots in for them.
And trust me, the alternates have come up huge in the past for me at times. So it's just not a throwaway pick, folks. Out of Group D, now, I do bring in an American, and this may be one that has me shaking my head come Thursday morning already, Dustin Johnson.
Ooh.
There's too much value with him in Group D.
That's what, you'll get value, think about it, when we started, for the Masters and then the PGAs, Bryson was out of Group C.
Yeah.
And now he's elevated his way all the way to Group A, and he'll probably be one of the most picked players in the event, but...
And there was a time Dustin Johnson was always in A.
Yeah.
So I saw him in Group D, and I said, that's got to be a typo, but I'm going to pick him anyway. Hopefully he brings the 6 inches between his ears with the physical talent that he has, and if he does... he could win the thing.
Yeah.
So the other person I picked was Patrick Harrington. You know, I know he's a senior, but man, he plays hard golf courses well. He always has throughout his career. And you know what? I like the guy's chances. He's really well versed in the the type of golf and the courses that they have over there. I think he's going to play well.
Awesome.
And then my alternate's Francesco Molinari.
All right. All right, so you went with a little bit of more veteran presence there.
I
went a little younger on mine. I went with Matteo Manassero, who's playing well this week.
Yes, he is.
Matthew Jordan, and then Daniel Hillier as my alternate. So usually,
you don't know really those guys. Those aren't the household names that just roll off the tongue.
Right, exactly. So Group D, you're going to find a lot, especially this week, you're going to find a lot of guys that you're not familiar with. But if you can find the little guys here and there, if you can find in the past, if you've had Neil Shipley.
Oh, yeah.
Or if a couple years ago, if you had Sam Bennett in the Masters, that's where you really can make up a lot of ground. If you can find the young up and comer or the guy who's just is not going to get picked, but goes out and plays three or four of the best rounds of his life at a major, then you're really in business here. So real quick, roll through your entire team.
Okay. So Group A, Ludvig Åberg, Brooks Koepka, Scotty Scheffler, with my alternate being Bryson DeChambeau. In Group B, I'm going with Tyrell Hatton. I love his fiery emotion, the way he plays. Shane Lowry, another guy that cut off the same cloth. Sungjae Im, and then my alternate is Matthew Fitzpatrick. Out of Group C, I go Adam Scott, Joaquin Neiman, Dean Burmester, and Justin Rose, with the alternate being David Puig. And in Group D, Dustin Johnson, Patrick Harrington, with my alternate being Francesco Molinari.
All right, my Group A, I'll match you on Ludvig Åberg. And then I also have Tommy Fleetwood, Rory McIlroy. My alternate is Cam Smith. Group B, Tony Finau, Sungjae Im, Shane Lowry. And then my alternate is Robert McIntyre. Group C, Austin Eckroat, Joaquin Neiman, Mackenzie Hughes, Rasmus Højgaard, and alternate Adrian Meronk. And Group D, Matteo Manassero, Matthew Jordan, and my alternate is Daniel Hillier. So make sure you are a CDGA member, and then you can sign up for Fantasy Golf, the CDGA Fantasy Golf. Always fun around the majors and some of the other special events throughout the year. So
yeah, I mean, one of our most popular events, because we have thousands that play.
Yep.
So yeah,
once you're in, it's free to play.
It's free to play.
Once you're a CDGA member, free to play.
Just like the magazine that arrives to your house and the opportunity to play with Robbie. So membership has its privileges.
Certainly does. All right. When we come back, we will take a look, update you on what's taking place out at the Scottish Open. We've got a couple new names who have entered the co-leaderboard as well. So we'll get you all that when we come back. This segment has been brought to you by Tullamore Golf Resort, up North Michigan Golf without the drive.
This is the CDGA Golf Show, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club, ESPN 1100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
The a segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. It's the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000. Off a little early today for White Sox baseball, but if you missed anything, we started up at 8:30 today. If you missed anything, check it out on the podcast, the CDGA Golf Show tab of the ESPN Chicago app. If you aren't already, download that app, and you can take us everywhere you go. And you can get us on the podcast there, the CDGA Golf Show tab, or wherever you get your podcast. We got a little bit of motion out at the Scottish Open as Ludvig Åberg is off and running, and a birdie on one for Ludvig. He is still in first place, but he does have some company now as Robert McIntyre off to a hot start today. He is 5 under through 7. That has worked him into a tie for first, along with Ludvig at 13 under. Adam Scott, all three golfers were actually clumped up at 12 under. Adam Scott, though, 4 under through 7 today. He is off to a nice start. He is in sole possession of third. Then you've got Tommy Fleetwood at 5 under through 15. He's at 11 under. And Erik van Rooyen as well. He is 5 under and for the day, 11 under for the tournament. Sungjae Im, a birdie early on as well. He is 1 under through 2. He is also in that tie for 4th, and as is Antoine Rosner at 11 under right now. So going to be a lot of movement today, it seems like. It looks like guys are certainly going low. Course is playing pretty easy, it looks like, in the early going, but as we know, that weather can change in a heartbeat out there in Scotland. That can really throw things for a loop.
No doubt. The weather will obviously always play a major role in an Open Championship. And so, but early signs are that the course is gettable. So it is going to provide for some pretty good fireworks, I think, as we get on with our day.
Yep, no doubt about that. And this is, it's always like a nice little test to see, all right, how do, especially some of the guys from America, like you look at the top of the leaderboard right now, a lot of Nordic countries. You have Adam Scott in there as well, Tommy Fleetwood. Not a lot of America. Like the first American you see on the leaderboard is Colin Morikawa and Sahith Theegala, each at a tie for 8th right now. So it's the guys that kind of know that how to navigate that weather out there overseas are usually the ones that perform best at these events. But you never know. Like last year, Brian Harman, out of nowhere, went out and won the... Not only did he win the event, thing felt pretty over by Saturday.
Yeah, it was pretty much over by the time we were, you know, hitting the bar Saturday night or the taverns over there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting finish. But I'll tell you what was really interesting Thursday is the way JT started out.
Yeah.
Throws a little 62 at you, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, has this guy found it? And then the next day came around, it was not so much.
Right.
I think he finished with 72. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays these next two rounds as he heads into the Open. Ricky Fowler, a few guys that just did not do well, and Ricky is one of them in terms of the 8 that didn't make the cut. I mean, you got the likes of, well, Hideki Matsuyama, Sepp Straka, Luke Donald. How about Jordan Spieth, Billy Horschel, well, my own Justin Rose, Will Zalatoris, and Ricky Fowler. So a lot of those are Americans.
Yeah.
And maybe this week is doing exactly what it needs to do for them, is to get their bodies more acclimated to the time change. And
well, in the case of Jordan Spieth, too, like he played in the John Deere last week and played very well down the stretch. Had a really strong Sunday, but then yeah, you're turning around quickly, and 4 days later you're playing golf in Scotland. I mean, you're playing from in Silvis, Illinois, Quad Cities, and then going to Scotland. Could you find two more different golfing climates?
Exactly. And you know, it's funny. My brother and my nephews just returned from Ireland yesterday. They are flat out exhausted from the time change, the flight and all that. Now, granted, they're not flying in private jets yet, but still, it's the whole, you know, getting your body acclimated to, and when you go overseas, and I've been over there a couple of times, it's not only just the time, but it's the diet. I mean, what they eat and how they eat their food is a lot different than what we do over here. So if you are young going over to play in the Open, It's a heck of a lot harder because of the conveniences that we have here in America. we take so for granted until you travel abroad and you realize those little things just aren't there and it's not as easy to get around. And obviously they don't necessarily drive on the correct side of the road. And then you start getting into all that and the signs are different. But yeah, it's for a young professional golfer. It's not easy to display your craft at the highest level when you leave our country.
Yep. All right, when we come back, Tracy Butler, ABC7 meteorologist, will join us and also CDGA member as well. She will join us to give us all the weather updates locally as well as what's taking place overseas for when we do get to the Open on Thursday out at Royal Troon. So all that coming up next. This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.